Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And we are talking to Vanessa Florence today, the creator of Dancing Eros, which is an erotic movement to be able to own your full sensual pleasure in dance and then in life. And she's actually all about liberation and freedom from, I guess, like for me, it feels like freedom from constraints of what we think we have to be and all of these like limitations that society and we put on ourselves, and really embracing and empowering ourselves through like first sexual empowerment, and then it like opens up to so much more than you even think possible. Welcome, Vanessa. I'm really excited to chat with you.
Thanks for the intro.
My pleasure. So I have been to, we'll start maybe with Dancing Eros first, because it's kind of where your journey, or at least your professional journey, seems to have started. You created this movement where women at first, and now it's open to men, which I'm really excited about and can't wait to tell my partner about, where women came to a place where it was total space held for however the fuck they wanted to be, pretty much is how it feels. And you just, I've been to one, and it's like a real honoring of your physical body and coming down into your body and honoring yourself through that, that allows you to then do that in all of life. And there's so many similarities, I think, to how you approach that kind of class or anything, and how you approach your whole life. So I could talk about this for ages, because I love Dancing Eros as well, but I'd love to know, where did you come up with that? Like, was it always dancing at first, or was it empowerment at first? And how did you know that they linked up?
Well, I'd kind of been around the sexuality world probably from my early 20s. I started kind of my spiritual journey, I guess, when I was like about 19, things just started to open up and in that way. And then I just had this really strong pull towards sexuality, I guess. And part of that was because, I guess, part of me is like a bit of an edge. I like the edge a little bit, you know, it's like my Scorpio side or whatever. But I like things that have a bit of a charge, because I feel like there's healing in our edges or our resistances, you know. And I knew that sex was one of those things. It's like you mentioned sex and people are either like intrigued or like,
oh, we can't talk about that.
So there's generally a charge in society around that. So like I was kind of just pulled to it, I guess, from that reason. And now looking at it, I know that I was unconsciously pulled to it for my own healing as well. But at the time, I didn't think it was because of that. Mm. So I was kind of in those kind of worlds for quite a while, like doing different tantra stuff and things like that, and doing a bit of women's stuff, and then I ended up working with men as well, and kind of doing dating coaching stuff. And I just kind of played in a whole bunch of different worlds that were quite linked with like intimacy and sexuality and all that. And when I was in Thailand at one point, I ended up going to this spiritual striptease workshop, which was only, I really was only there for like 4 hours or something like that. It was an afternoon, but I felt so good. Like I felt so good in my body when that finished. I felt so naturally connected to myself and free in my sensuality. And I was like, that's amazing. Like I want to do that. And more regularly, because it makes me feel good, you know. And that was literally like the purest intention. I didn't have some kind of like big visions to like heal women of their sexual trauma or blah blah, you know, any of these big things, which is actually what Dancing Eros has now been doing. Like it's, you know, got a massive power beneath it and in it. But really it was just like, I just want to dance sexy every week with other women because it feels good. I'm going to go back to Melbourne and like make a course and just run something. And then, yeah, that began a very big initiation for me, like into my feminine. When I look back at where I was when I started that, I was totally like a little girl. Like I wasn't actually in my woman, and have kind of healed myself and been healed through doing and channeling, I guess, if you want to call it that way, the work. Because yeah, like it kind of came through me. It's like I just followed I followed like the signs and the intuition and the music, and now it's like it's actually initiated me into my woman now. So yeah, kind of it was a personal journey for me as well as like serving everyone else. So
wow. And I find that I do that a lot, and I think everyone does that, that we start to teach kind of at this leading edge where we're like just understanding and just grasping, or like just kind of trusting. And then we start to, people ask us questions and we answer them, and like, wow, that was like not even from me. I learned as I spoke to you and I explained it to you. Like we're teaching what we most need to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like really beautiful to acknowledge that, because it takes away some like illusionary idea of perfection as being a leader or a teacher. And like, that's a mass, like I'm a massive advocate for that. And the way when I train teachers as well, like that's actually generally the hardest thing we have to work on, is like getting out of the idea that we have to be perfect and we have to rock up and teach in this way of like, I am complete, I'm done, and you know, I'm holding this space, and I, and it's like, no, actually, like just be in the humanness of your vulnerability and your journey, and let things kind of flow and trust something bigger is holding it. And I feel like that's where the huge power is, because the perfection thing is like just a massive killer for everyone. Like we all suffer, the person who is trying to perceive, like present themselves as that, and the people receiving that fake image or that, you know, constructed image, we all suffer from like some ideal of what we think we're meant to be. So
that is so true. We do all suffer. I've never seen it like that before. Like I always thought that I needed to be perfect, and I didn't, like it was just, it was too much of a responsibility. So I'm surprised I actually did anything ever. Like how can you do that when you expected to be perfect, and like you're just at like the forefront just trusting whatever's going. And you're right that the people who are watching us, they need to know that we screw up as well, and that we have doubts, and that we just step back, continue to trust and keep moving forward, and you know, all of those things, because it's not inspiring to watch someone be perfect from when they were born. I think it's inspiring to watch someone be imperfect and keep learning and keep growing.
And it's not only not inspiring, it's actually damaging. Like, because, you know, if you're going through, and that's, you know, part of that whole isolation thing, or it's just like, if you're going through and you're judging someone on like their Facebook reel, and their only Facebook reel is like all their happy snaps and all the amazing things that are happening and all their successes and wins, then we start to go, oh, well, what's wrong with me? I'm feeling shit. But if you could scroll through Facebook, you're like, oh, wow. Like, you know, that person's having a hard day today, or this person's sharing their struggle that they used to have and now where they are now. And we actually like get to, have this shared sense of humanness and the beauty of like, of being imperfect, you know, and the perfection of that. So I think it's like extremely, extremely important that the whole kind of veneer of like professional perfection, or you know, some idea of what we're meant to be, is just wiped out. And I think it's starting to happen. I think society is starting to value authenticity over all else. And you know, I heard someone the other day even speak of like how Donald Trump, the choice of Donald Trump getting in, was actually a choice for authenticity. Like Hillary was hiding a lot of that shit. She was the same, you know, but she was hiding it. And so actually, as much as, you know, whatever's going to happen there, and he's got his shit, it's the choice of the public as well to choose what was real. And even if what was real is not pretty. And I think I really feel that society is starting to clock on, and we're not buying like, that when the inner and outer don't reflect anymore, we're not buying it. And I think that's really exciting.
That's so true and so cool. I'm so excited to see what unfolds over there. Sending love to everyone across the world, because I feel like this, I mean, we're just coming to the end of a 9-year cycle, and by the time this podcast airs, it will actually be the very start of the next 9-year cycle. And I think it's a really cool time, because we can see probably quite a lot of destruction of what's been happening, I think, in the last 9 years and beyond, like even before that, and a lot of destruction that leads to creation of what is actually meant to be coming through now, which will be really cool to see. Which I think we could then segue into so much personal development stuff. Like, I just had this like, oh yes, this is exactly like what we do in our personal lives as well. Like, there's been destruction of things that I thought were true in my life, or things that I thought were serving me, and then they were no longer, and then I created something new, and it's like a cycle, isn't it? Can you resonate with that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I am very comfortable and familiar with the death aspect of the life cycle. And I think it's like, I really truly believe that like the most kind of shiny or empowered people, when you can really feel like it's a genuine joy, it's not just like, hi, life's great. It's like there's a sense of like this life force or this freedom in the person. That is the exact result of that person being able to also go to like the depths and the darkness, and that kind of the decay, the down cycle of light and dark. So yeah, for me, I'm very comfortable regularly going into like spaces which aren't light, and I think then when I'm in light, it's really fucking real, you know, like when I'm truly in joy, it's like it's the most pure level of joy. And I'm a massive advocate for the dark. I think like just as valuable, there is no imbalance, and it's just something that I'm super, super passionate about, like for our own freedom and connection to ourselves and connection to each other, is being okay with like things dying and ourselves, part of ourselves dying, because it's not really the extent that, it aren't pleasurable or, you know.
It's really interesting, because before I was like, why are you even saying this, Kiara? And then it led to that, and I was like, oh, okay, like I just have to trust what goes on in my head. But I really hear you on that, because I remember a few years ago, before I broke up with my ex-partner, which kind of was like the deepest darkness for me, and then like my father has passed away, and just recently my dog passed away, which was like my baby. So I feel like I've lost a parent and a child this year. But the first real darkness came from breaking up with my ex-boyfriend. And before that, I didn't realize, I thought I was like pretty deep. I didn't realize how kind of like I hadn't dived into who I really was enough. I was so surface level without even recognizing it. And only through like wading through those deep fucking dark waters that I thought I would never get out of, did I find this version of me that could feel total end of the spectrum. And I remember back then, if I saw someone really joyous, I thought they were fake. Like nobody was that happy and everybody was pretending. And now I remember I went to the Dancing Eros event and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Oh, this is gonna be so much fun. Like dancing with joy before we even started anything. And that was authentic. Like that was a state of joy and bliss that I would have thought was fake before, because I couldn't imagine it. So yeah, I just like that you only tap into that joy from being willing to go to like the depths of the shit, I think, as well.
It's literally like a spectrum. So if you've only gone to this much level of like pain or sadness, and it doesn't mean we have to kind of make ourselves do it. It's like, but I feel like the more sensitive and open you become, the more, and you allow yourself to just feel life, like there are terrible things happening all the time that, you know, the more you kind of just open and go, I'm going to let myself feel that, you know? So like, for example, my friend Susie, who, you know, she passed away, took her life last week, and that was a really big thing. But as soon as I read and found out, you know, I got a text message, it was like instant, just fully going to the depth of grief. You know, there was no kind of like, oh, I don't know how to handle this. Okay, I'm going to go, oh, you know, and waiting. And it's fine. But I recognize for myself, I guess watching myself having the process, is I just let myself go to the full depth of emotion instantly and throughout the day. So it was like grief, you know, 20 minutes of just full crying. And then that passed. And then, you know, an hour later, something else triggered and it was just full on rage. And I just let myself go into that and, you know, and just let it move. And now I only feel like I feel peace and I feel love and I feel total gratitude for Susie and just like this beautiful feeling in my heart towards her and the whole situation and the beauty of it. And that comes through going to those feelings completely, you know, and being able to hold ourselves in it, being held by others, you know, if we need that. And just, but just going to the, writing it to the end, you know, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that happening. And I, you know, as, you know, Donald Trump and these things, like, it's like life's starting to force us there. That's what I'm starting to see. Like the more people talk to, it's like life's starting to, yeah, take us to those edges and throw us a lot more shit or curveballs or whatever. And we're trying to, people are trying to cope with it, like alcohol or numbing themselves or whatever, but that's not going to last if we want to get through life, really. It's not going to work. And I think, you know, suicide rates and mental illness rising, all of this stuff is because we're being kind of pushed to deal with ourselves in another way. And I truly believe like feeling a capacity to feel our emotions and hold ourselves and be held is like paramount to being like having true joy and health. Like,
Yeah, I think we've gotten past the point as a, like, as a complete race of needing to really struggle to survive and just to put food in our bodies and stuff. And so now we're at this place where there's so much going on and it's about emotional, not just survival anymore, but like, how can we thrive as emotional beings? And how can we thrive in this human experience as well? But I would love to know from you how, like, this so relates to like that sexual empowerment, what we're talking about, this like freedom to really feel whatever we feel. I remember when I walked out, so I've only been to a Dancing Eros taster, although I am signing up for my February journey. So I will be there. Yes. I'm so excited. And I remember walking out and being just beyond, like, just feeling more powerful than I've ever felt in my entire life. And I've done a lot of like personal development and spiritual stuff, but it was like in my body, this like awakening and remembering of my power. And I think that that experience, like, I've had that in sexual experiences before as well, where you like really claim what you want and ask for what you want, or just like move your body and forget about everything else around you and just be so present in your body. I'd love to know what your experience has been of like how sexual empowerment relates to full life empowerment.
I feel like a big reason that is the case actually is because sexuality is one of the biggest taboos. So there's a lot of kind of, you know, there's a lot of like, I guess tantra statements, you know, which is like our sex energy is our life force energy and blah, blah, blah. And I agree with all of that, but you know, there's plenty of, read any tantra book and you're going to get that, right? So I don't feel so much to enter into that part of it right now, but what I do feel is this coming up is the fact that sexuality is so taboo and so kind of hidden in the shadows, and or not even in the shadows, but it's something we kind of experience just like with ourselves under the covers quietly or with our partner, but it's not an energy that we're that comfortable letting out or allowing to move through us in a healthy way out in the world. And that doesn't mean like masturbating like in the aisle of coals or something like that. Literally like when we're eating our food, you know, it's like feeling the sensual pleasure of eating our food and making sounds, you know, when we experience something that we love. Like, you know, when I go to a movie, I'm just like shocked that people aren't expressing their emotional responses, whether there's like a hot guy on the screen and they're like, oh, he's so hot, or like something happens, and actually just natural responses, right? So sexual energy or pleasure responses are, I would say, the most taboo responses out of all of them. So you see like someone having a cry on the street and you'd be like, whoa, that's a bit much, but okay. You'd see someone yelling on the street and you'd be like, whoa, that's a bit much, but okay. You see someone orgasming on the street, whoa, what the fuck? Like, you know? And I think that's almost a key in that aspect of it, is yes, because Eros is very much about the anger and the sadness and all of it being okay, but because it's kind of beginning with like essentially pleasure and desire and our sexual desires and all of that, and because it's so not explored in so many like personal development, spiritual, meditation, like they're just not going to that aspect, you know. My friends are pastor and we were kind of laughing and joking because they literally, you know, you're scanning through the whole body in this meditation process and the guru guy will be like, then focus on your belly and then your thighs and then your knees. Like they skip the sex center, you know? Yeah. And it's like, it's, I think a lot of areas don't want to go there because there's just so much in it. And it's, there's a fear and a taboo there that is part of the, almost the energy that can allow everything else to move in a more powerful way.
I hear you. Like say we could become empowered in our careers, but because it's less taboo, it doesn't empower everything. But when you step outside of your comfort zone in such a big way with being something that's so taboo, then it allows your comfort zone to stretch out way further than you could have imagined before.
Yeah. To all the other areas because you've kind of gone to the root in a way.
Yeah.
I was like kind of so drawn to it because I was like, oh, there's like a root.
This is a good shortcut. Go straight to the point.
Energy here, it's like our most primal place of where we came from. It's like our base energy and our sacral energy. It's like there's a root that if you go to that place, then it will affect everything else. Like no doubt, you know.
So people who are listening at home and thinking, okay, cool, but how do you become more empowered, like at home, if you're not going to Dancing Eros, although they now have it for men too, so women and men, look it up, Dancing Eros, definitely do it. But if they're not doing that, how do they do it at home? How do you become more empowered through the sexual energy and then in life in general?
Yeah, it's a big question. I've kind of been like almost the past couple of days, like making my like plan for like how to become free, you know, because I don't actually think it's just one thing, you know, because like, okay, self pleasure every day or dance every day. And I actually think there's a whole, like, there's like particular power points to get to freedom. But really, I feel the major one that's coming up for me right now when you ask that is a connection to your body and a connection to your sound and your movement in your body. So when something happens to you, it's like animals, right? When a duck experiences some kind of trauma, they like shake. They shake it off. Like a lot of animals actually, they shake, you know? And that's to kind of process like the trauma out of the body so then they can come back to a place of having a relaxed nervous system and being at balance, you know? So the thing that I'm feeling the most right now is our connection to our the freedom in our body and the freedom in then our sound as well and the way we move our bodies is huge to our freedom in life everywhere. So I would say like a practice to start now is like when you feel, start to even notice as a first step when you close a little bit. Like just that awareness, it's like, oh, I just closed a little bit, you know, and your closure might be different to my closure, you know, we're all at different spectrums of that. So even just the initial awareness of, oh, I'm a bit, something in me kind of contracted there and I want to explore and feel how I could open that a little bit. And whether that's like, well, softening and relaxing the body, breathing into that feeling or where the tension is in your body and then making a sound for that or moving that in some way, it's like just a phenomenal practice because life is like continually giving us like stimulus that closes us and numbs us and we go, oh well, I'm just gonna keep moving, you know, okay, well, get my Facebook, start scrolling again, or I'm gonna binge watch shows. And that's fine, I fucking scroll Facebook, I binge watch shows, you know, it's not demonizing those things, but having an ability to like process and feel your feelings and your contractions and being able to be empowered to open through them and go, oh, this is uncomfortable, but I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to move. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to make some sound through that. privately or with like someone you trust, whether it's like when you're having sex, you know, when you feel yourself, oh, I'm coming to an edge there. Just the first recognition in itself, I think, of a closure or a shutdown is valuable. Then even naming it, going, oh, I mean, something's happening for me here. Just the first recognition is powerful in itself. We don't even have that ability to recognize when we're not open or when we're closing down or when we're scared.
So then it's not a conscious choice, but once you recognize, you can make a choice about that if you want to.
Exactly. Yeah. So breathing and softening and relaxing your body is like just so key to feeling, and feeling is the key to being free. You know, feeling everything that's sad, feeling everything that feels pleasurable, like in the bedroom, in life, being able to soften your body and relax your body and breathe, and it's like, you know, rushing around and getting shit done. It's like actually just, and then you go on a journey of opening through little edges, you know. It's like, oh, okay, today it's just, I'm just, you know, it's just this little thing that I need. So open to my sadness. Okay. Now it's opening to going into a deeper level of pleasure or sound or whatever. So it's just like then a journey of our own little edges that we slowly like soften and open into.
You know? And do you have an example of like a recent time when you were at an edge and you just opened to that? Like, just, I would love to give the listeners an example of that.
Recently.
I know I'm like, okay, you could give an example too, Kiara, and I don't, nothing's standing
out. Yeah, no, I'm, I think, I mean, even just like, yeah, it's, I'm just trying to think. I've got a lot of old ones, but I've kind of not been going to too many edges lately. It's kind of been, I've been able to flow with things a lot easier. But okay, I'll give an example. I've got one. to filter through the folders of my past experiences. Okay, so this one's a slightly edgy, but I'll go there. So,
oh yay!
I've kind of
you what?
As long, when I find it, I'm like, oh yeah, shit. So yeah, it was a couple of months ago, about a month or so ago, I had like some massive stuff coming up around jealousy with my partner at the time, I'm not with now, but there was like different interactions that were going on, and I was coming up against jealousy a lot, and I wasn't willing to feel it completely. I was kind of like, I'm jealous, you shouldn't be doing that. Just don't do it, please, you know, right? Which is fair enough. That's what I needed at the time, you know, that's okay. But as things started to progress, at one point, so I did something a little bit naughty, and I got on my partner's computer. We were kind of breaking up at the time, but I got on his computer and I started to read through his messages. Yeah. And there were a lot of messages in there from different women, and they were having different sexual interactions and like messaging and all this stuff. So it was kind of like my worst nightmare was coming true, because all through our relationship, I'd been so scared of that, and I'd blocked even feeling any of that. I'd just been like, no, I'm jealous. Don't do it. That then finally, as we're breaking up, I read all these things that have been happening in that break and all these messages. And I just allowed myself to just feel it rather than like contracting and going, this is fucked, and fucking calling and be like, you motherfucker, blah, blah, I knew it. You know, I just sat there and I just let myself feel all the feelings in my body, right? Without stories, without this is jealousy, without calling it something, just letting myself feel. And what happened was I ended up having the most orgasmic turn on ever. Like, I was so turned on. I was reading all these messages and I felt this like sense of, like, it wasn't a sense, it was in my body. I was so aroused. I was so open. I felt so like turned on that you know, this man was desire, had his desire, and he was desired by others. And, you know, without a story, I just let myself feel. And I was like, I feel fucking turned on and hot. And that, and, you know, whatever, we ended up having sex and blah, blah, blah later. And, but that was a moment for me where I, instead of something that I resisted feeling, which was feeling jealousy and feeling trigger about, you know, my partner's desire for other people and his and other people's desire for him. I'm still a massive fan of monogamy. I fucking love it. I'm not really interested in doing poly for anyone who's watching this who wants to date me.
Message her if you're into monogamy.
But I think it's really important to feel all the feelings within that anyway, because we're desirous creatures. We're going to have feelings, you know, things are going to happen. And I think anytime we block stuff, we're blocking a huge amount of potential for feeling and life force. And what I learned from that experience too is by me blocking and going, oh, I just don't want you to have that at all with anyone, meant that I was also blocking a potential for like a kind of turn on between us, that we could be like, oh, you like it? Oh, that's hot. Because that's what happened in my body when I let myself read all these fucking messages and let my worst nightmare come true in my body, you know. So there's an example.
That's really interesting. So you took, I guess it feels like to me, you took the judgment and the story and the head stuff out of it, and you just felt whatever came up in your body. And for you at that point, it was arousal.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, another time it would be, okay, I'm feeling this way. I let myself feel total vulnerability about that. I let myself cry about that or whatever it was, you know, but not allowed myself to completely feel the depth of the feeling around, you know, my partner's arousal and desire for other people. I'd kind of just been like, oh, no, just don't do this contraction.
Do you know what I feel was a growth edge for me in like in terms of having sex was actually recognizing, like, sometimes after I orgasm I'm like, cool, let's keep going, and sometimes after I orgasm I'm like, okay, I'm done, like I got nothing else left. And I think it's the type of orgasm, but anyway, point being, I get to the end of some orgasms and I'm like, I'm done, like to go anymore would feel like I was forcing myself for you. And it's about mutual enjoyment, but right now to continue like this wouldn't feel good for me. So it's not a mutual enjoyment. And so for me to be able to express that, like I just had my orgasm and I could feel really selfish about saying, actually, I need to stop here. And that was a real edge for me to be like, I think I need to pause here. Like, you know, in the scheme of things, everyone will enjoy, but I needed to pause there. And that was really big for me. And I think that allowed me then in life to kind of recognize that it's okay to say, this doesn't feel good for me anymore, I'd like to stop, and to set clearer boundaries in like how people can interact with me in my life as well. I think it's so, like, how you do anything is probably how you do everything, they say. Like one of those old throwaway lines.
I was literally just thinking about that quote and I was going to say it. So it really is. Like, you look at one thing in your life and how you do that, and you do it everywhere else. Like rushing when you're washing the dishes to get something over with. It's like, where do you do that in your life? It's like, oh, I'm rushing to get something over with. It's like, you know, kind of go, oh yeah, I don't want to express what I desire here because I want to please you.
That's
the bedroom, you're going to do it when you're with your work colleagues, you're going to do it with your friends, you're going to do it everywhere. Like it's across the board in every area. And so in Eros, with exploring sexuality and being seen and all that stuff, you get to really see how you're doing a lot of.
And do you know what came up for me when you said that? I feel like we could invite all of the listeners to go away and do the dishes in like the most slow, sensual way they possibly could. And then head over to the Facebook. So it's facebook.com/aninspiredlife with Kiara. Find mine and Vanessa's face. You'll be able to see our names. And then come on over and tell us, like, how did that feel for you? And did you notice it then show up in other areas of your life? Like, how could we slow down some of the monotonous things that we do. Because if you're doing sex a lot and it's been for a long time with the same partner, that can, if you're not like, you know, bringing new things into it and bringing presence into it, that can become a little bit monotonous. So how can you slow down the things that you kind of think are monotonous and make them a sensual experience? And then through that, bring more sensuality into your everyday life. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to hear what people say about that.
Just checking to see if I've got any dishes.
I'm so lucky. My partner does most of the dishes. So I'm going to have to be like, honey, you can take a day off. Or you know what? You could watch me. You can watch me do the dishes, babe. And do you know, that reminds me that when I did the Dancing Eros thing, and I know that we keep going back to Dancing Eros, and Vanessa, you do so much more than just Dancing Eros. Like, you're a thought leader. It's just a really great way to kind of take that and bring out lessons for life. But one of the things that I got from it so much is that when you do the practices in Dancing Eros, it's all about your experience of it and not what anyone else does. So we're all kind of like, especially as young women, I think, I don't know, guys might feel this as well, I can't speak for them, but as young women, when we go out to clubs, there's this, like, for me, there was always this big pressure to look sexy while I dance. So I thought I had no rhythm and I didn't know how to dance until I went to pole dancing classes just for women. So I need to look sexy. I know it was pole dancing, but that was gone because it was just us women. And I started to dance for me, I guess. And then at Dancing Eros, that just took it to another level. And I feel like there's so much to learn about that. Like, how are we always often doing stuff for other people from what they want, even unconsciously? Like, I know when I was doing the practice, I would be like, I'm doing this for me. And I'd have to bring myself back to that, like not caring about what the other person thought of what she saw, but just being there for me. Like, can you share some of the learnings that you've had around doing it for you, I guess?
Yeah, I think we have it very much trained out of us. Trust our own knowing, you know? And that's not just sexually, that's like everything. Even just in the school system, it's like, okay, now you're sitting down in uncomfortable chairs and for hours, and then this is when you're having lunch, even if you're not hungry then. It's like it's happening from a really early age, getting our instincts, our natural instincts, kind of trained out of us. And then sexually, massively, because of all visual stimuli that we've been seeing forever of what it looks like to kind of be sexy. And, you know, it's like all the billboards and the video clips and the magazines, and this is the body type, and this is the way that you should, you know, you should turn your head this way and make your eyes look like this, and all these things that actually will naturally come out of you when you get aroused enough and you follow your instincts and you follow what's naturally feels good for you. Like your booty often will start to, like, you know, in a way that, you know, Beyonce does it, but it's not from a place of the, it's almost like we're looking at ourselves from the outside. So it's like, oh, it looks like that. I know how to do that. I've experienced getting attention that way and love that way and validation that way. So I know how I can move myself in that way. And so then we're just like trained out of like, oh, what feels good for my body right now, not some kind of like performance or something. And it can be really unconscious. Like, some would be able to listen to this and go, oh my God, I do that. And some would be like, no, I don't think I do. But as you said, I still have to pull myself up sometimes, like, oh, okay, hang on. Am I wearing this for me, or is it some, like, what I think looks good? You know, does it feel good in my body as well? You know,
That's a great question for like anything. Does this feel good in my body, or am I doing this because I've picked it up from somewhere else that this is what I should be doing?
So it feels like, you know, it's a real retraining. It's like a retraining into your self trust.
And I love that you called it a retraining, because I feel like that's exactly what it is. There's like I've been to heaps of personal development events and seminars and whatever else, and I'm sure you probably have as well. Often we're a bit like addicts, aren't we? Like we're like, yes, let's learn this next thing. But God, you don't get the breakthroughs. You might get like a breakthrough there, but how you get them to last is actually the stuff that you do at home. It's not the stuff that you do in some kind of workshop room. And so that one question, like, does this feel good for me? Does this feel right for me? If you literally, if you did nothing else, but you asked yourself that every time you made a decision, that would be probably more powerful than any event or anything you can go to. Okay, everyone, you can stop listening to the podcast now. You've got everything you need to know. Just go ahead and ask yourself that one question.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my gosh, this has been so much fun. We have to finish up soon, but can you tell us, is there anything else that you want to share about your erotic journey, how your empowerment journey, any tips for our listeners?
Yeah, I really feel like the message that just keeps coming through at the moment is two things. One is like feeling the feels, like just really give yourself permission to feel everything you feel in response to anything. Because that's, you know, it's like the question you said before around, okay, we'll just ask yourself, does this feel good for me? Some people don't even know what feels good for them. So literally starting to inquire into your body and into like, oh, okay, what does that feel like inside? And also the other one, which is just really strong for me right now, is being in connection with each other and not doing your journey alone. I just feel like it's just so important that, and that's a big part of Eros, is the sisterhood, you know, and now soon to have the brotherhood as well, because we'll have the Eros for men. But the sisterhood is so important. It's like being in really true, real, raw connections with women in your life. And a lot of people don't have that. Like the level of depth of connection that I have with women in my life is phenomenal. You know, it's absolutely phenomenal. And I really want all women to experience that, and men, you know, because we need each other, and we try to process and feel shit alone. And it's not it. We're pack animals and we need each other, and still to encourage each other's individuality, you know. We're pack animals, let's all be the same fucking thing. It's like, wow, we're all so unique, like colors of the rainbow, and then we all come together and support each other shining. And that's something I love so much in Eros, and the community in Eros is we all like lift each other up so much, you know. And we work through stuff when there is competition energy or jealousy. We talk and share about that, and then we move through that and be like, I want you to shine, you know, and you know, show me how to shine, and let's support each other and lift each other up. So really feel that so strong as well, like the truth of the connection we have with each other is just as valuable and as our connection to ourselves.
Yeah, and I think there's been times in my journey where I've focused on like my purpose and sharing my message, or on my own empowerment, like my own individual journey, and I've kind of forgotten to look outside at, you know, there's so much of like, don't look externally, look internally. And so we do that, and then we get lost in the internal and we forget about these beautiful people outside as well. And there have been points in that thing where I'm like, God, I feel so alone. And that's like kind of the opposite of what we're doing. Like we want to be able to have relationships that aren't with like all of this shit in between us and the other person. So there's less triggers and all that sort of stuff, so that we can be empowered and free in those relationships is a lot of the point of why we're doing this. And then we forget about those relationships and we just focus on ourselves in that time. So that's really great advice. Like, I know just recently I've been aware, like my beautiful pug just passed away last week, and I spent quite a bit of like a few days just at home with my partner, like just grieving, like crying, feeling, screaming, whatever I wanted to do, however I wanted to feel. And then I was really aware that I needed to not be just with my partner. I was like, I need to catch up with a girlfriend as well, because there's like different supports that can be given from different people. And also if we're relying on one person, it puts a lot of strain on that relationship. And so I do think it's so important to have that community so that you get bits from everyone and you give bits to everyone. So there's not like a big strain on any one or two relationships. That's really key as well.
Totally, totally. And I think that's to have a good relationship, like as a woman, you must have like a sisterhood of women like who are supporting you and all your emotional needs and all that stuff, and it's not just your fucking man doing that, because that's just, it's such a recipe for disaster. And it's like they're gonna spend all their energy holding you and listening to your day's process and all your emotions. It's like, when are you gonna like be able to enjoy or just have sex or whatever, or, you know, because we have emotional needs, you know, and that's fine. But it's like having women in your life who hold you just as deeply as your man does, and it's so important. And you,
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah, and the men need that as well. They need men where they can get together and like just be men, because I do think that, you know, we have more like, this is really general, like I feel like I'm entering dangerous territory saying this, but generally women have more emotional needs than men, and men actually like to switch off a little bit more and talk about like, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I know that, but I do know that we're different. And so when we try to talk too much emotions to men, they can find it draining, some of them. And for men, sometimes they need to just talk about stuff that they really like problem solving and like stuff that I don't really understand. And I think it's important that we recognize those differences.
I would add to that, I suppose, that I think, and we are coming into a changing time right now where a lot of the gender stuff is starting to get really questioned in a very important way. And I actually really feel that men's emotional connection with each other is paramount to the health of our relationship with them as well. So like, our partnership is that men have a really, they can feel emotionally nourished and held by the men in their life. We are so not there yet as a society. Like, we're very far from that, and it's actually almost foreign. There was a video that went around recently of these two men, Germans. The Germans are just super advanced. German men are laying in bed together, like cuddling, and they're talking, you know, they're sharing to the camera about the importance of cuddling with your man friends and how that affects your relationship to your partner if you don't have that. And it is the most amazing video. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, I really felt it. And there were a lot of reactions to it. And most men, even in the more conscious communities, were like, ooh, I don't know if I'm there yet, you know, to be belly to belly lying in bed with my male friend. Like, I don't know if I'm there yet, you know, all is about being gay and all this shit. So, you know, we're not there yet, but I think we're starting to head there. I can feel like things are shifting around men's work a lot, and how, you know, a lot of the male suicide stuff's really like, there's a light on it. And I think as a society, the recognition of men's deep emotional needs and sensitivity is starting to really change. And we're moving out of this idea that men are just these like logical man slobs who want to switch off and watch TV. It's like, actually there's a lot there too, that in their inner feeling world. And I'm really, really excited for Dancing Eros Men and all the other men stuff I can see starting to happen, where men can open into those parts themselves that have been considered kind of gay, or, you know, like not feeling and all the shit. That's actually going to provide a huge amount of empowerment for them, and then a freedom for us as well, because we'll both be really equal
and supported in our stuff.
Like, cool, you've got a feminine energy and a masculine, I got a feminine energy and a masculine energy. We're not like running these like old school 1950s dogmas or something, you know.
I love that. I love what you just said. That is so awesome, because I can see it in my beautiful man as well. He's got so many emotions, and I feel like I'm getting a lot of them because he doesn't have, like, they don't have yet a community to share those. So I end up holding a lot of that, whereas it would be awesome for him to have other men hold him in that. And I think he's going to do some work about creating stuff like that as well. So hopefully he will be at your Dancing Eros for Men as soon as it opens. That would be cool.
The first one sold out in like 5 days or something. The second one we're putting up today. So it's definitely going to become a regular thing. And yeah, I can feel the men's work stuff is really important.
Yeah.
I want to support that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, really beautiful.
Awesome. I have loved chatting with you, Vanessa. Thank you. How can people come and find out more about you and Dancing Eros and all of the things that you do?
So for Dancing Eros, it's dancingeros.com. So everything's there. I don't facilitate the courses and stuff anymore. I facilitate bigger retreats. So, you know, if you're interstate or overseas, you know, you can come to those retreats for a full 7-day, which is just amazing. It's like really, really powerful. And then we're also going to be getting some online stuff happening this year as well. So for people who are just not connected at all, we'll have an online and start to like create more sisterhoods in areas that we don't have teachers yet.
Beautiful.
So yeah, at the moment it's Melbourne, Byron Bay and Sydney. We've got courses in Australia, but yeah, there's the 7-day retreat that you can come to. And then the online stuff's coming. And then for my personal stuff, you can come to VanessaFlorence.com. So I'm starting to like get my website a little bit more judged and put a bit more energy into that. But at the moment it's kind of blogs and my videos and stuff like that. So
yeah. Awesome. Cool. I love what you share. It's so authentic and really empowering. And I can see you're like, I love how you don't try to be a teacher in that. You're like, I'm freaking on the journey too. Like I'm just on the journey, learning the same shit as everyone else and then sharing it. And I really love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And for everyone who has been listening, thank you as well for listening. Welcome to 2017. This is the first one that I've recorded knowing it was going on in 2017. So welcome. And please, as we said, let us know how you go with the essential dishwashing. So facebook.com/aninspiredlife with Kiara. I'd love to see that conversation start happening and us being empowered into able to share our responses on Facebook as well. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please tell other people about it. Like, this is important stuff. These messages are important and I'd love for more people to know about them. So please do hit share, head over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rate and review, and just help us to share the message out so that more of the world can feel this empowered and own their sexual power. And just, yeah, I just be like, oh yeah, that's all I want to give you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Vanessa. And I will see you next week, everyone.